Blog Talk Radio.
What?
Clowns to the left of me.
Clowns to the left.
To the right, here I am.
And jokers to the right.
Yes, I'm stuck in,
the middle with you.
And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing control, yeah, I'm all over the place.
Here we go.
Clowns
to the left of me.
Jokers
to the right. Here I am. Stuck in the middle with you.
When you started out with nothing and you found a tour of selfish man. And your family all come calling. Slap you on the back and say,
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Will's Wake Up Call. It's another Tuesday night, a little bit of a late start tonight at 8:30, but we are going to have you guys listen and call in. You can call in on our call-in line at 914-205-5369. We have a lot to talk about tonight. We have Trump and COVID, and we could go on forever with what we have to talk about tonight. But, you know, Will's Wake Up Call, this show, it says it in the title. It's a wake up call. You know, it's for independent and critical thinkers. It's for people that want to use their brain and not be spoon fed an opinion by the media, regardless of what side you're on. Of course, all opinions are welcome. And, you know, we are redefining what is the political spectrum. You know, we use the words conservative and liberal and left and right. And right now, you know, until we have some episodes in and you really understand what my theory on the left-right paradigm is, then, you know, we're going to have to kind of go with those narratives. But to me, the left-right paradigm is just a scripted pseudo-war. It is it's smoke and mirrors. It's Coke and Pepsi. It's the same thing, you know. And also, you know, the difference between the word liberal and a leftist. There's a huge difference in my mind with that. I consider myself, believe it or not, pretty liberal. You know, I'm probably one of the most hated people in politics, at least my kind of person, because I am not conservative enough for the so-called conservatives. And I am a right-wing nut job to, you know, your typical leftist. To me, there's nothing liberal about what we call liberals today. There's nothing liberal about moving left and authoritarianism and totalitarianism. There's nothing liberal about that. There's nothing liberal about censoring someone's speech. Understand that. If you're a leftist that thinks that, you know, if someone says something that you don't like or even hate speech, whatever you want to call it, if you're not a free speech purist, you're not a liberal. And that's not my interpretation of it. That's just the damn fact, Jack. That's how it is. If you are not for free speech, pure free speech, you're not a liberal. Call yourself whatever you want. I don't care what you are in your mind. I don't care what gender you are in your imagination. I don't care what you think you are politically in your imagination. I don't care if you suffer from a Dunning-Kruger effect and you have illusory superiority and you think you're a genius. If you are not for free speech, you're not a liberal. Of course, I'm going to, you know, aggravate lots of people with that, but that's a fact. If you think that it's okay to censor someone regardless of how much you disagree with what they have to say, then that's just not liberal at all. And I could go on a million other things that aren't liberal. I mean, a liberal today considers themselves, you know, that if I asked them, a liberal 20 or 30 years ago, do you believe in segregation? they laugh right in my face. But if you ask a liberal today if you believe in minority-only spaces, no white people zones, that's considered liberal today. There's nothing liberal or progressive about that in any way. It's sheer and utter stupidity. But you know what? I digress. That's what I do. That's what this show is about a little bit. I rant a lot. But that's what we are trying to accomplish here at Will's Wake Up Call. We're talking about these things because I think that I've been pushed into a tribe politically. I really have. The divide is so strong in this country right now. The polarization. I remember when George Bush was president and they would talk about how polarized the country was. And then under Obama, obviously the right was very polarized. What they considered to be militant ideologue and socialist was pushed us into even further into the tribe. But this now we're, completely driven into tribes at this point. So much so that the so-called progressive left is willing to vote for this.
I am, ironically, more optimistic about the prospects of dealing with the problems we talked about today, as well as so many other problems we have right now, than I've ever been in my whole career. And you say, well, why in the hell would you say that, Biden? You just talked about all these difficulties. Well, I'll tell you why. Because the American public, the blinders have been taken off. They've all of a sudden seen a hell of a lot clearer. They're seeing, geez, the reason I was able to stay sequestered in my home is because some black woman was able to stack the grocery shelf.
What?
I got a young Hispanic is out there. These dreamers are out there, 60,000 of them, acting as first responders and nurses and docs. Or,
well, at least the Hispanics were first responders and nurses and docs. At least he showed them an ounce of respect. And, I don't even care anymore how racist Biden is. I mean, if the black community and the so-called progressives in this country don't care, why should I? You're going to vote for this guy. But I'll tell you what, I do care how stupid this guy is. I care that the so-called, that this, if he wins, he'll be the president of the United States, right? That the president of the United States, he's running on this social justice platform and how he got involved in the civil rights movement. That's what brought him to politics, which is baloney. Baloney. It might have been going on when he was a young man, but he certainly, I don't even think he was on the right side of it, to tell you the truth, if you look at his history. But I do care that he's stupid enough to say stuff like this when he's supposed to be some champion of social justice. And he's supposed to be the one that's, that's opening our eyes to racism. With the left talking about things like, critical race theory and subconscious social bias. And we all need to be retrained. White people need to be retrained to understand their privilege and their unconscious social bias, and that everything in this country was built for white people, by white people, off the backs of tyranny. Did anybody send Joe Biden for that training? Did any of you put him in your brainwashing class for that? Because if you did, it hasn't taken. His racism is so deep, it's part of his DNA. And it just keeps coming and coming and coming. I mean, it just never stops. Turn the record player on. Poor kids are just as smart as white kids. You're not black if you don't vote for me. I mean, come on. So just admit it. Just admit it, social justice heroes. The reason you're looking to vote for Joe Biden, and I've confronted a few people on the show about it, is because you know that you have a neutered white apologist that will be most effectively pressured by the left, besides his mental acuity and besides his cognitive decline, just as being just a pandering apologist that doesn't even know how to pander properly. Listen to him. Because a black woman was stocking my shelves. Well, first off, let's talk about all the things that are wrong with that statement, besides the fact that just your racism is blatant, besides that. Do white people stock shelves? I've seen some white people stocking shelves. Are there black doctors? I've seen many black doctors and black nurses. So I don't understand how a group of people that are supposed to be trying to combat racism view everything through the lens of racism and through view everything through the lens or the perspective of race. It's kind of hard to combat racism when that's how you view every single topic. It's absurd. It's absurd, and it takes a special kind of thinking. And by special, I don't mean smart. It takes a special kind of thinking to think that way. Anyway, we are going to get to that, that debate. But before we get to that, we're going to take a call. Let's take a call here.
Hello.
Bill, you are on. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Will? What's up, buddy?
I'm doing good, buddy.
You know, Joe Biden is absolutely right on all the issues half the time because he takes both sides of every issue.
That's true.
He says that he's not going to do the Green New Deal. He's got his own New Deal. He won't take a position on whether he's going to pack the Supreme Court or end the filibuster or grant statehood to Puerto Rico and D.C. You know, if he's and with respect to the Green New Deal, if he's so afraid of climate change and that it's such a why the hell did he buy beachfront property 3 years ago? When the rising ocean levels sink his beachfront property? But 3 years ago, he bought beachfront property. So what do you want to talk about today?
Well, we're going to talk about the debate, but before we get on to that, I do want to bring up the Green New Deal. I want to bring up the Green New Deal for everybody listening. I would like AOC, I wish, you know, soon, you know, it's only been the first few weeks of the show, and I would like to one day be able to speak to somebody like AOC and say, hey, excuse me, can I have a copy of the Green New Deal, please? Yeah, I just want to look at it and see what's in it. Oh, you mean it's not a thing? It's just three words jammed together? And let me get you people to think a little bit more deeply and a little bit more critically about the Green New Deal, okay? The Green New Deal is just three words jammed together about how they would like to hijack the taxpayer to fund green energy and other green sources of fuel and energy and whatnot, right? So now, you don't think we would want to do that already? You don't think that if alternative sources of energy and clean energy and renewable energies were cheap enough or efficient enough, we would already do that? Bill, I'll let you get right back on to what we were talking about in a second. Just stay on. But here's the thing. What is the most expensive part of rolling out new technologies and infrastructure? I mean, we're talking about retooling the entire country and the entire world, okay? So if you're able to produce clean electric, you're able to produce clean gas, and you're able to produce other sources of energy and solar and every other and wind and everything else, if you're able to do this, right, you're going to need the infrastructure to fuel everyone. You're going to need the infrastructure to produce it. There's a lot of money that you have to roll into the cost of producing this, okay? Trillions of dollars. Now, since that's the most expensive part, and if the taxpayers look in the bankrupt, who do you think is really behind the Green New Deal? You think that it's this movement that just sprung up and people are like, I'm sick of, you know, making the earth dirty. Yeah, we shouldn't throw out paper cups. And oh, by the way, let's give billionaires trillions of dollars to make renewable energies, which they will sell to us at a profit. Are they going to give it to us at the end? Yeah, you're still on. Listen, are they going to give it to us at the end? Are they going to give us the renewable energy? No, they're going to charge us for it. So we're going to pay for their infrastructure with a blank check, and then they're going to charge us
to use the renewable energy the American taxpayer paid for. It is the biggest fraud being perpetrated on the American people and the pawns
let me
in the game.
Let me say two things about that Green New Deal. First of all, you know who's invested big? I mean, now it's not the Koch brothers anymore, but the remaining Koch brother is invested heavily in renewables. So
why wouldn't you be? Yeah, why wouldn't you be? The American why wouldn't you be? It's going to be sellable energy that they're going to sell for a profit, just the same way they sell oil and gas today. And they're going to have their infrastructure built by the idiot American taxpayer. That's why. Hey, I have an idea.
And you know
why don't you pay for it?
Chief of Staff Chakrabarty said, AOC's Chief of Staff Chakrabarty, I can't pronounce his first name, but he said the Green New Deal isn't about cleaning it isn't about reforming the climate. It's about changing the economy. So it has nothing to do with climate change. It has to do with change. They want socialism. They want communism.
Yeah, and you know what? The funny thing is, the new American version of communism is not going to be, I'm sure you understand a little bit more about this than some other people listening, or even some other people, you know, in general. The new version of American communism will not be the Soviet Union planned command economy, government controls means of production and distribution. It will not be that. And some people don't even know that that's what socialism and communism is. They don't understand that communism is a form of economics, not a form of governments. Sometimes when I talk to people, sometimes I just want to, that's why it's called Will's Wake Up Call. I just want to smack you right in your face once in a while when I hear something like this. It's a form of economics. That will not be, you're not going to revamp the entire system that way. What it will become is a huge welfare state, and the 1%, it'll be more like fascism with a huge welfare state. It'll be like fascism where the Bill Gates and all the oligarchs are in bed with the government, and it's all big corporations, and there is no more competing with them. There is no more free enterprise. Right. Well, we are certainly a plutocracy.
To take a trip over to Michigan. You got Governor Whitmer, who's who assumed all these dictatorial powers and said that you couldn't seed, grass seed or flower seeds, but you can buy weed. You can't go to church, but you can have an abortion.
That's all the stuff that comes along eventually with the economics of communism.
And the Supreme Court struck her down. Supreme Court struck her down, and she's fighting it. So she's going to hold on to that power for the 21 days that the court decision said she has to comply. So for 21 days, she's going to hold all that power. The highest court in Michigan said that was unconstitutional. She had no right to assume all that power, and they struck down her dictates. You know,
well,
meanwhile, her husband, you know, you can't go to your second home in Michigan, but her husband gets on his boat, and he's going to her second home, you know. It's the way, you know, it's just like the Politburo. The Politburo had nice apartments. They had plenty of food. They didn't have to wait on any bread lines. They didn't have to go to empty supermarkets. They ate nice, and there's their families, and they had nice clothes, and they had everything.
I'm going to get deeper into, you know, the future outlook for the communist state of the United States and what it really means and what it really will be. In other episodes, but I will briefly mention that regardless of your political affiliation, regardless if you're some pie in the sky socialist and you think that, you know, that what you're fighting for is going to help people, let me just give you a brief synopsis of what will happen. Okay. You see, because there will always be a 1%. Understand that. There always was in every system. There always will be. There will never be a system where there is not a 1%, where there is not a controlling minority that disperses the resources the way they see fit. The irony is the capitalist system that has brought more people out of poverty than any system in the world, the duplicitous edge on which we walk is that it has created an abundance of resources that now people think should be dispersed for nothing because they were given to us somehow by God or by chance. But the fact is they were earned. In other episodes, I'll talk about how the capitalist system has created this abundance of resource and wealth, not just in the United States, but around the world, and how the poor in the United States are not really that poor, and that income inequality is a lie. And the amount of money you have versus the amount of money Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and all the rest of these guys have, the number is arbitrary. It does not matter. It's about access to resources. And we'll get more into that, but the Green New Deal ties into all of that because that's what it is. It is a heist of the American taxpayer. Now, real quick, Bill, before I go to the next call, I did want to ask you about the debate, which I will ask anybody that calls what they think happened in that debate, and I will give you a brief summary of what I think happened in that debate, but go ahead.
All right. Basically, what I think happened in the debate, Trump has got to learn how to marshal his time. Trump has got to learn to be concise with his message. And I think the debate format was ridiculous because, first of all, Trump is used to these rallies that go on for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and he talks about everything. There's no time limit on him, and people are glued to his every word, and he's able to talk and talk and talk and talk. You can't debate like that. You know. So I do think he got some good points in, but you know what? When Joe Biden's able to throw out 20 lies about Trump and then not be challenged by Chris Wallace, you know, who's basically holding Biden's water, and yet, you know, Trump gets held to the fire on every statement he makes. Well, that's not true. Well, that's not true. You know, what about Hunter Biden getting the $3.65 million wired into his account, which is in the congressional record? And Joe Biden.
Yeah, not just that. When he goes, that's unsubstantiated. That's been debunked. I got a question for you, Chris Wallace. If you were so, you know, yeah, that's it. Who? One word. By who? Two words. Use by there, I guess, is better English. By who?
Chris Wallace was a disgrace.
Pathetic.
As far as the interrupting goes, the first interruption came from Biden.
Biden
a single name.
I heard, wait, can Biden I say something?
Name.
Stop.
What?
Trump was, when with the interrupting, listen, when I played baseball, okay, if a pitcher had a really good fastball, I'd have to look for it. All right. If he didn't have a good fastball, I looked for the curveball or whatever other pitch he threw so I could hammer that. And if I saw a fastball, I could just react to it because the guy can't get it past me. That's Biden. There was no reason to interrupt this imbecile. He didn't say anything.
He should have, because he should have just sat there. Trump didn't address some of the biggest lies that Biden was telling. Like he still wants to perpetrate that fraud, the good people on both sides. How do you let him get away? How do you let him say that and not address that? And say, read the full quote. I said, I'm not white nationalists, not white supremacists, not neo-Nazis, not the KKK. I'm talking about people who were there who just wanted the statues to say.
Let's face it. Trump is not good at the back and forth. He had a couple good zingers against Hillary. He held his own. But he's not good at the back and forth. I'll never forget the first debate. The first debate against Hillary, he was doing okay for the first two questions or whatever. The third part of the debate, they asked him, they said, Mr. Trump, the question is about cyber attacks and cybersecurity. Meanwhile, you have this lady next to you who had a server under her damn toilet, right? That was acting Secretary of State. And you know what he starts talking? He starts babbling on. Remember when he lost the debate at that? He started babbling on about blowing up ISIS and all the rest of this crap.
He lost the first and third debate.
Oh, my God.
With Hillary.
But hold on. I would have kissed that guy.
The second debate. What?
I would have kissed that guy when he asked me that question. You want to talk about cybersecurity when I have the Secretary of State sitting next to me who had a server under a toilet that got hacked by foreign adversaries? Yeah, let's talk about that. I'd really like to talk about that. I run a multi-billion-dollar international corporation.
His best moment from the second debate was because he interrupted.
Right, I know. But he interrupted. He interrupted smoothly and quickly. And, like, you know, it was pretty smart the way he interrupted. Not, you know, bull.
I also have a question. I don't know when he was first infected with COVID. So, you know,
yeah, well, I don't know either.
Well,
we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Was he starting to suffer the effects of COVID while he's going through this debate?
I hope so.
I hope so because
I can't give him a pass for that. Okay, you know what, Bill? I'm going to take this other call I got to get to, but as always, you know, you keep the show going with all your stuff. Thank you.
All right, take care. Well,
all right, thanks, Bill. All right, you've been on hold for a while. I think this is Will, another Will. Go ahead. We got Will's wake-up call squared right now.
So listen, man, I had to call in. I saw your show, and I can't help but, you know, agree with so many of the things you're saying. You know, I'm a small business owner here on Long Island, New York, and, I mean, we're getting trampled. And all these things, even the Green New, everything just adds up to this one singular ideology, which I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, I saw my roots staying here in New York. But, I mean, it's becoming more and more impossible to think about a future here where it's literally, I mean, it's just evaporating any type of fiscal advantage, you know, no matter what you do. You're just being sucked dry, and it's just continuing. And, I mean, this guy Biden, man, if him, Kamala, AOC, they take over, I don't really see a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, in this state or any of the blue states, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, and that's been the case for a long time. The problem is we're running out of places to run. You know, places
right.
Like, you know, North Carolina and these places.
South Dakota right now, man. They've got a good
yeah.
governor. They've got a good direction. That's one of the only
yeah.
ones, you know.
I kind of like.
You brought up Whitmer and Michigan. You know, it's just there's you're right. There's less and less places to run every day.
Yeah, well, I kind of like, you know, South Dakota, I kind of like to be near, like, stuff and other people. You know, I do like people. So, I mean, at least, like, within, like, you know, miles, I like to have some people. And I do like towns with populations of more than, like, 450. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not nothing against the country life. But I am like a kind of a city person. I just wish, and I don't mean city, I mean suburb person. I just wish that
yeah.
some of these blue states would be sensibly blue. I remember when blue meant we support unions, we support the American
right.
worker. Of course, we're very tolerant of immigration, and of course, we're trying to get them to come in legally, though. That's the thing. See, today's left and today's Democrat criticizes you for trying to stop illegal immigration. And there was
right.
a time where even they stopped that. As a matter of fact, wait, hold on. Isn't it Barack Obama that deported more people than every president in history combined up until...
You're not allowed to say that. Remember?
Yeah.
It's truth over facts. It's truth over
am
facts.
Am I allowed...
Remember
that's
that.
It. Truth over facts. How about... Isn't it Barack Obama that built the cages? I'll give him a pass. They're actually detention centers kept to people that are coming
right,
in illegally.
Course.
Right. But isn't Barack Obama the one who built the cages? Now, I don't know how when you find that out and you're on the left and you find that out, and you don't feel like a duped imbecile being
right.
rallied up and being, you know, selective or manufactured outrage.
They're
I don't know how you don't.
They just let it go. They let it go. It's on to the next thing. It's only what they truly believe is factual. Which is, I mean, absolutely outrageous and asinine, but it's the truth. They don't care what you tell them, whether it's fact or not. It's what they believe to be the truth. And they believe that no one, and anyone, I should say, would be better than Donald Trump. Whether it's Biden, a rock, a gorilla, they don't care.
You know what, though? If
and
you
I
came
know
out
so
and...
People that say that, though. I know so many people that they hate Biden. They say he's disgusting, he's creepy, he's this, but he's not Trump. And it's an outrageous thing to actually.
Well, I gotta be honest. It's the only argument that I can respect in the slightest bit. It's the only one because there's just no other argument you can make to me. When you try to sit here and lie to me, yeah. When you try to sit here
right.
and lie to me and talk about, you know that he's not a racist, or you try to cover up his past, or you try to talk about how he'll be better on anything. I just look at you like
right.
you're a deranged nut job. I'm like, because I know if you just say to me, listen, I hate Trump so much that I would rather vote for Saddam Hussein. Then I'm like, okay, well then
right.
you know what? There's nowhere else to go with this. Either you have your reasons, which I don't see, or the media has gotten to you to make you believe that that's the only way to, you know, to be able to handle your political differences, then that it is what it is. But you see, I wouldn't be worried about those people because that's not what's going to get people to the polls. However,
Right.
Now that we have unsolicited ballots being mailed out, I'm not against mail-in voting, by the way, all you left-wing nut jobs that are trying to say that I want to, you know, suppress people's votes. I'm not against it. I just think you should have to ask for a ballot. At the very minimum, you should have to solicit a ballot.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
But it's just, it doesn't make sense to me. I just can't wrap my head around these ideologies. I truly can't. And even when you do go to these people who hate Trump with everything they have, and you give them real facts with sources of great things that he's doing, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's still a racist. He's still a xenophobe. It's like a disease.
Well, here's why I want to talk about the debate with you for 1 second, because, you know,
yeah,
like you said, it's like they have to, when I talk to people that just, you know, will not hear any facts or evidence, and I just look at it like, you know, there's plenty of people on the left that I know that I can, and even people that will not vote for Trump and will vote for Biden or not vote at all or vote for a third party candidate or whatever, right? I'll talk to them, and, you know, at least if they're willing to say, yeah, I understand that, but this. And when we're talking about the debate, you know, you're making a point to someone, and they just don't want to hear it. They have to melt down into, like, you know, some type of cognitive dissonance and just have to put their fingers in their ears and be like, blah, 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 blah. Now, when it comes to the debate,
exactly.
Right, and when it comes to the debate, I'll say this right off the bat. Trump stunk. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care if you want to say the idea is to divide the opposition and rally your base. Okay, in some ways he might have done that, but at the cost of looking like a huge buffoon when you did not have to do that, because this guy is – he didn't say anything.
He said, listen, whoever talks first, fortunately, he loves to do that to himself. When he could have sat there, let Biden – just self-implode, which he would have, and would have given him all the ammunition during those 2-minute segments for him to go after him on his own words right in front of the American public. And instead, he decided every 2.5 seconds to have to jump in there. You're already against Wallace and Biden. It was an absolute disaster. Chris Wallace is absolutely ashamed of himself. It would have been better to have Nancy Pelosi up there, because at least then it would have been like, all right, I expected that.
Yeah, somebody God, not masquerading.
Like, you could have not had a worse moderator. I can't even call it a moderator. My God, it was more like throwing rocks at people. My God, it was absolute disgusting to watch. It was an embarrassment for this country.
Well, here's my point on how he should have handled it. Because as I'm sitting there with my wife, I had to just get up at one point, because I was watching it like I'm watching a football game. I'm literally throwing stuff at the TV. I'm like, shut up already. But it would have been simple. Like, you know that Biden didn't say anything that you didn't know he was going to say. There was nothing that Biden said that he didn't say at the town hall, stupid fake CNN debate that happened, the CNN town hall that he had. There was nothing he said that we didn't know he was going to say. And remember, Biden is cornered into about 7 or 8 months. He's not going to speak about anything pre-COVID, because pre-COVID, Donald Trump is a hero. I don't care what you say. The numbers in the economy are great. Everything's great, and everyone knows it. And the Democrats, the smart ones, are smart enough to know. We talk about February on. However, the incumbent usually does really bad in a debate, like when George Bush looked at his watch, or Al Gore sighed, that famous sigh that he had. Don't we miss those days? And the reason being is because they're like, listen – in their mind, they're thinking, I had to make these decisions. You're playing Monday morning quarterback. Who do you think you are? That's really what it boils down to. The problem is, though, you have Biden during this, since he's trapped into the 7-month window or 8-month window, you have Biden on record saying stuff. You have Biden on record saying he wouldn't have closed down the travel with China, that it was xenophobic. So why wouldn't you let him talk? Like, you knew he was going to say you killed 200,000 people, as absurd as that is. Let him say it, and then just simply say, you would have closed down later, which I know he said, just the way he said it lost effectiveness. If he waited, it would have been like a bomb.
The way he said it was so much more offensive.
But like, that's also
– he could have easily done that in such a different way that would have put Biden in such a light.
But also
– been exposing him.
Yeah, but also that's where you bring up Hunter Biden in China. Why does he bring it up in some stupid other spot? You go like this. You go, listen – You would have closed down the borders later because you said it was extremely xenophobic. You're on record saying that. And so that means more infected Chinese come in, more deaths. Oh, and by the way, how am I supposed to assume you would ever do anything against China, considering your son came home with $1.5 billion Chinese dollars? Boom. Kabam.
And that's
okay? Blown apart.
That's the way you set up a debate. That is,
right.
That is one thing. You know, Trump may be, you know, he's a great leader. He's not a good debater. He does not execute a debate correctly. He gets these one-liners in, and they might rally the base a little bit, but he's not pulling be in the middle or might be on the left that might not necessarily agree with Biden. He's not pulling those people by just interrupting every 2 seconds. If he would have strategized and put those two ideologies together, I think he could have really done a lot more. And I hope that they better have this next damn debate. But if they do, I really think he needs to do that. I don't think he will, but that's the way he's going to make actually a change and get something across. Let Biden implode and then double up on him.
Well, it's funny because in the first debate with Hillary, he kind of was much more aggressive. But in the second one, you remember that was the one where he was going wrong. You remember how like different he was during that debate, his breathing and everything, and how they said he was lurking behind Hillary. Yeah. So I think as much of a egotistical maniac he might be, egomaniac he might be, he's going to have to watch this video and be like, man, I sucked. Like, you know, because like I listen to all my podcasts now, and I'm like, man, I got a lot of work to do, man. oh my God, man. I got some work to do. But I think he needs to be honest with himself.
That's all he can do. You're doing a good job, but I really think that he really needs to go into this next one with some serious strategy. Again, the longer you let Biden talk, statistically, the more the probability of him having a gaffe, a major mistake, having said something, like saying some outrageous number or something that's just completely not true. It just, you're opening him up to so many possible battle wounds by just letting him speak. I know it's very hard for him because he wants to be in control all the time. But if he allows Biden to take that center limelight, you're going to allow him to mess up. And not only are you going to be able to attack him, you're going to show him that he can't even handle 2 minutes on this stage without messing up. How are you going to run the country? And hopefully there's where you're going to pull those left and those, you know, left middle people that aren't sure, or, you know, they finally see the light. But that's the only way you're going to do that. You're not going to do that with this current strategy.
I agree. All right. Thanks, Will. Thanks for calling. Hopefully I'll talk to you next week.
Right,
give us a call back.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Again. Take care.
All right. Well, you know, and I think that this election, the middle is important. A lot of people are like, no, you have to rally your base. You have to rally your base. But that's different when you're handing out unsolicited ballots. North Carolina sent out almost 1 million unsolicited ballots. You don't even have to solicit a ballot. You don't even have to ask that you'd like a mail-in ballot. They're just mailing them out. Not to mention all the types of fraud that could lead to. And people are like, well, you know, mail-in voting historically doesn't have much fraud. First off, you don't need much to flip a couple of counties and change an entire election with the Electoral College, okay? So if you know anything about that, you should know that you don't need too many fraudulent votes. You just need the right ones in the right spots. Secondly, we've never had mail-in voting like this. This is unprecedented. Unprecedented has never been seen before. Like, people use unprecedented for everything with this coronavirus. And they're right. In many ways, everything's unprecedented. But this certainly is. All right. We have another caller. I think this is Brett, right? One of our favorites.
Hey, Will.
Brett, are you there? Hey, buddy. How are you?
I am not doing great. And I am honestly really annoyed at Trump after some news I read today regarding the stimulus packages. And quite frankly, how he's been behaving since the diagnosis thing that he had. And, oh, boy, where do you want to start? You want to start with his diagnosis? You want to start with the debate? Because, oh, boy.
You know what? I have plenty of material tonight. As a matter of fact, it's a shorter show tonight. It's only an hour and a half. But I got to tell you, you go wherever you want. Wherever you feel comfortable right now, you can talk about. Because I've prepared for both of those.
Oh, boy. Why don't we start with the debate and work our way why don't we start with the debate and work our way later on in the week? So, I honestly don't even know what else I can say about the debate. To me, it felt like watching two toddlers argue over a crayon. And I'm not putting that on either one of them. That the whole thing was like, yeah, I get Trump is not, yeah, Trump kept interrupting and everything, but Liza, Biden did some of that too, and the moderator basically didn't do anything. And oh boy, I just know when I saw a little bit of the after show on whatever stream of it I was watching, I have never seen an entire room full of reporters have a 1,000-yard stare. I just feel like, what the fuck did we just watch? Was that the presidential debate? Seriously? Okay. When's someone going to come out and say, live from New York, it's Saturday night?
Well, you know, it's funny because somebody sent me a meme, and it said it was Trump talking to the reporters and stuff about COVID. And he said, you know, they said that, you know, they've never seen anybody recover like I recovered from the coronavirus, that it's the greatest recovery they've ever seen from the coronavirus. And, you know, when they checked my DNA, they said it wasn't DNA at all. It was USA. Right. So I text them back. I said, at what point is it fair to ask if this is satire or not? You know, because I just have no idea. I have no idea what the guy's going to say. I mean, when I saw the tweet. Go ahead. I'll let you talk.
Since you brought up the COVID stuff, let's go into that. Like, oh my God, he gets diagnosed and things seem like, okay. Like over the weekend, I'm thinking, okay, he's diagnosed. Yeah, I'm not going to wish any harm on the guy intentionally, because despite what everyone on both sides is doing, where they're just, you know, acting like chained up Rottweilers who are angry at each other and just a little bit out of reach, and they just keep trying to bite each other, I truly don't wish anybody harm unless they directly wish me harm at that moment. But, you know, over the weekend, he's in the hospital. He's like, get the stimulus done. The American people need it. I'm seeing what this virus is. 2 days, you know, today, like 2 days after he sent that first tweet, this is so ridiculous. I actually looked at his Twitter feed for like the first time in his entire presidency.
Oh, it's fun.
For perspective on that.
Okay.
And like, have you seen his Twitter feed like the last 2 days? It's more manic than usual.
To his defense, I'm sure they loaded him up with steroids like Superman. But I will say before you continue about the stimulus package, you know, the Dems wanted to load that with money to rebuild cities that they burned down in the riots. And I'm sorry.
Oh.
I can understand taking a stance of, wait a second, you let them burn down your cities. You didn't even try to stop it or call in the National Guard. Now you want the American taxpayer to bail you out? I'm not going to use the word because I try not to use that word, but F you. Okay? No, you rebuild your cities. Why don't you get some of that tax money that everybody's forking over there in, you know, Chicago? Oh, wait, you mean Chicago needs a lot of federal tax money to rebuild the city? Oh, what a shock. Yeah. You mean there isn't a lot of, you know, federal tax liability all over the place to be able to grab money to, you know, fix it all up? Shouldn't have burned the city down. Or at the very least, you should have stopped people from burning it down. You could have at least tried to call in the National Guard. But no, you thought it was okay. I heard from so many people in BLM and Antifa and other people on the left that, you know, it's only property. It's not a big deal. Well, if it's not a big deal, then you don't need it.
You're fine. I will give you that till the cows come home. There is no reason that any money in a COVID-19 stimulus bill to try and keep the American people like you and me from going underwater. Because I don't know about you, but like I started working again last week at a job I don't really feel safe doing with a bunch of, you know, with the pandemic going on. Because there's way too many people coming in on a daily basis that I don't really want to be around, because I don't know where they're coming from or what they're doing. Or, yeah, I do high school senior photos.
Yeah.
And I'm working in my company studio right now. And I got kids from all over the place, from schools that I'm hearing, like, are thinking about shutting down. Or schools that I've heard, oh, yeah, they had to delay their opening for 2 weeks because some parents somewhere decided to throw a party with, like, 40 kids and no masks or anything. And it's just like, I don't want to be here. So, like, you know, maybe they could have left that part for something else and focused on, you know, the stimulus checks and small business loans. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, because normally I'm against this, but even some bailouts for some of the larger companies that are unfortunately kind of essential, like some of the airlines, even though they really should have been putting money away for stuff like this.
Instead of buying back stock and making themselves rich. You know what I would do? I would pick the worst offender, the one who bought back the most stock and enriched themselves the most, and I would make them a sacrificial lamb and say, you are going out of business. And all the rest of the airlines that acted more responsibly are going to have an opportunity to buy your assets for pennies on the dollar. We can't allow them to continue to do this, okay? And then all of a sudden turn around and say, oh, we have no money to run our multi-billion-dollar airline because we all used it in stock buybacks to enrich ourselves, okay? You can't do that.
Can we make it United?
Yeah. You want to make it United? That sounds fair. Let's bash United. No, but you know what? These companies and their ties to our, you know, our government, their ties to our jobs, their ties to our municipalities, they'll bankrupt cities, you know, where some of these airports are. It'll bankrupt, you know, we'll bankrupt and we'll lose the manufacturers of the engines and the planes. And it's just the ripple effect is,
yeah,
you know, awful.
You know, I'll even concede and say, put the stuff for the big companies in a separate bill. Hash that out later. Right now, can we just focus on the stimulus checks and the unemployment benefit and the extra unemployment benefits? Because, you know, people like me don't really have it. Because you know what I do besides that. I work parties. I work, you know, events. I do stuff like that. None
yeah,
of
that's like stage.
Right now.
That's like stage 10 reopen. That's like never reopen. That's like people going out of business.
Yeah, and I've got credit cards and vehicle loans and other loans and banks calling me like, hey, where's our money? I'm like, I don't really have a job right now and it's not my fault. And I really just wish Congress would have, you know, yeah, the 600 thing might be, you know, I'm not going to say it's going to be too much because, you know, at this point, if you give people a little bit too much, as long as there's something saying, hey, we're giving you this money, just spend it to stimulate the economy and keep stuff afloat, I'm okay with that. And I'm not normally okay with stuff like this. And you know me well enough to know that.
You know, it's funny. It's funny how you have these, especially when I hear a leftist that never contributed a thing to this country and never really even had a job, when I hear them talking about, oh, well, you know, look at all these Americans that are okay with socialism now. I'm like, it's a stipend returned to them and what they've paid over their lifetime in taxes because you decided that you were going to be the arbiter on shutting down their business possibly forever. So I don't know, you know, how you think that that's socialism. I've never denied the fact, and I certainly will never deny the fact. As a matter of fact, my argument always is to the socialist when they say, oh, you know, America needs socialism. I'm like, we have it already. And then my argument to the capitalist that always says, America will never be socialist. I'm like, we are already. And then I asked them, do you know what a mixed economy is? That's exactly what we are. You see, I think that most of the socialists I know that start talking about, they're like, well, you know, the Nordic model and blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Except all of those countries are capitalists, by the way. I don't know what book you're reading, but by their own admission, they're capitalists. Not to mention the fact that the things that they're protective of, like, you know, private property ownership and banking industry, they're more capitalist than the United States. But without that being said, your completely erroneous point on the Nordic model, okay? Besides that, oh, you mean tax more and hand out more free stuff? Oh, yeah, no, that's not socialism. That's what we call the welfare state. That's what's coming. That's what's being created. Now, right now, you say, okay, we have a pandemic. We need to shut it down, and we need to pass some stimulus and some bailout money for the actual people that pay the actual taxes. Imagine that. Imagine bailing out the actual people that pay the actual taxes, and not just the Trumps. Yes, I'll say it. The Trumps that are out there not paying taxes and getting bailouts, or the other billionaires. Or that's another funny thing. You know, you listen to somebody like Biden say, I'm going to raise the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28% back where it was, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, except these companies like Amazon are paying like 0%. So please tell me how raising it from 21 to 28% is going to stop these multi-billionaires from getting their loopholes that they're all getting. They're not even paying the original 21%. It's me and you and guys that open our business that are in the middle and small businesses that are paying the 28%. So when you bang that extra 7%, you're banging us over the head. And even if you were getting bigger corporations like the Amazons and the Microsofts, what's 7% to them? Not to mention the fact you'll never really ever try to hurt them because they're the ones that contribute to your campaigns. The mere fact that these senators and congresspeople are allowed to write laws and then have consulting firms that help companies avoid these laws through bankruptcies or through other types of, you know, ways to navigate their way through the law, that they could navigate them through laws that they wrote. The mere fact that exists is disgusting. The idea of a lobbyist is disgusting to me.
Agreed. It's terrible. It is. So, I mean, you've known me for long enough. I used to be like crazy anarcho-capitalist. The government should be so small, it's almost nonexistent. I got older. I realized, okay, maybe we do need some government. I now consider myself something more of a minarchist. I think, as much as I do still think taxation is theft, primarily because of how the government spends it. Fine. Tax me. Do what you got to do. Just make sure that tax money goes to things that actually benefit us and not constantly being like, oh, JP Morgan Chase is going bankrupt. Let's give them a check for a couple $1 billion or, you know, some name another big company. Name something else that gets bailed out.
Oh, we could name every single bank that there was in 2008. Obama handed out more billions to billionaires than any president in United States history. Yeah. But
go bankrupt anyway.
A smart person on the left, though, will tell you, well, George Bush signed the bailouts. And then if you're a smart person on the right, you would have already known that. And you'd say, well, the bailouts were attributed to saving the economy. Pretty much the only economic program that Obama implemented. So you saying George Bush saved his own economy and then watched their head just explode like, you know, with a logical non sequitur. They can't even put it together. They can't follow. They're like, ah, you know, you just watch them melt down into a complete state of cognitive dissonance.
And like, seriously, today I was genuinely heartbroken because I figured, you know, oh, Trump's, you know, Trump got COVID. He's in the hospital. There's a bunch of White House people who got COVID who are either quarantining or someone in the hospital. A couple senators got it. Maybe they'll actually see, hey, maybe we need to actually do something now because this thing sucks. And then Trump goes into the hospital. They pump him full of steroids, one of which, according to a couple articles I read and they did a little more research on, is shown to have a side effect of increased delusions of grandeur.
I don't think that's even possible with this man. And don't get me wrong, I'm voting for him. But imagine increasing his delusions of grandeur. You might see him with a red cape on top of the White House later, saying he's going to go, he's going to fly. He's going to do a Superman off the top of the building.
Okay, hold on a second. Wouldn't that be kind of a downgrade? I thought the guy thinks he's God.
Well, listen, I like to ridicule him every now and then, and I know that a lot of my listeners are loyal fans, and they love him. And in a lot of ways, I am very happy with the job he's done. It certainly surpassed my expectations. But I'll tell you this. When you come out and say, don't be afraid of COVID, listen, I read the tweet. I understand him kind of. I just think of my most insane self-love and, you know, just think I'm the greatest thing in the whole world. And then I get a good understanding of Donald Trump. And I'll tell you this, I agree with the sentiment somewhat. You can't shut down the whole country. You can't shut down the whole world. We have to move forward. But at the same time, I probably in this environment with an election coming and you being our only go between, you know, socialism and a president who are the only defense that we have against socialism and a corrupt and frail old man that's going to succumb to everything that's pressured on him by the left and by Antifa and by radical Democrats. You're the only thing standing in their way. And you're out there saying things like, don't be afraid of COVID. I mean, it's like you're asking them to
himself in the foot in the last couple of days.
Listen, the only person, I've been saying this in 2016, I even said it, the only person that can beat Donald Trump is Donald Trump. And that's the bottom line. I mean, he has to do this to himself. It's not. It wouldn't be Joe Biden won the election. It would be Donald Trump lost it.
Yeah. No, that's. I will agree with you because as much as I dislike a lot of what the guy says and disagree with a lot of things that, like I said, I think the biggest problem he has is I think he needs someone to just stand next to him and put their hand over his mouth every time he starts talking for too long. And someone needs to take his Twitter account away. But, yeah, I think he would, quite frankly, if he just today said, okay, fine, we'll give you the money for this. It's fine, whatever. I don't even agree with all of it, but You know, it gets the unemployment thing out. It gets the stimulus checks. It saves stuff. It gets the economy moving again. It does whatever. I think he would have had a much better chance of winning as it is today with him saying, oh, I have instructed my people to stop discussing the stimulus package until after I win the election. That
well, you gotta
kind of comes off like blackmail.
Yeah, you gotta wonder what's gonna be the better stance politically. Is it gonna be I've instructed them not to do that? We'll wait till after the election, and then I promise, I'm gonna give you more money than anybody ever saw, or I begrudgingly was held hostage by the evil Democrats to fix the cities that they burned down. I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it as Trump. To fix the cities they burned down so I could get help to the average American. And you know what? For an extra $800 billion, it's worth it. That's probably the stance he should have taken and say, you know what? I don't agree with it. I'm disgusted by it. And they never cease to disgust me. But at this time, it's too important, and I've instructed my, you know, side and my representatives and Mitch McConnell and everybody working towards this to just, you know what, we'll have to just take one for the team right now and just be held hostage so that we could get, because that's what they'll do. They'll hold us hostage. Why do you think they've been holding this up? They've been holding this up because they don't care about you, just like they didn't care about the Dreamers. They didn't care about the Dreamers. When Trump asked them for a couple of billion dollars, nothing, peanuts, he pretty much lowered the bar to the floor. So that he could, you know, have some money to build the wall. Instead of giving them a perceived political victory, which he was promising a pathway to citizenship for the Dreamers, they just said, Dreamers who? And just walked away. Because they're disgusting, no moral having. I'm not talking about them all, but the leadership specifically. Pelosi, Schumer, and a handful of others.
I have an opinion of everyone who's been in Congress for more than, let's say, 20 years. I think after a certain point, you can go into Washington starry-eyed and wanting to get this done, but I think after a decade or two, I'm pretty sure everything of that's just sucked out, and you're just concerned, what company do I have to go to get a large campaign distribution and a gift of a nice lakefront property in nice New England state?
All right, Brett, thanks for calling, buddy. I appreciate it, as always. I got another couple calls here to get to.
All right. Take care, Will.
All right, sir. Thanks.
We'll talk later about this.
All right. Let's see. I think we got Rob on line 2 over here. Rob, you're on. Or is this Andrew?
Willie.
Oh, it's Andrew. Okay. How are you, buddy?
Big Willie Styles. What's up, buddy?
Oh, my man. Good to hear your voice.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Same here. I wish I would see instead of hearing from you. But that's all right. I'll get up with you soon enough. So, I really want to talk about the debate. The debate kind of sucked. I mean, we could all kind of agree the debate sucked. I think Trump went in a little too headstrong on the defense, and that set the tone for the debate. I don't want to talk about COVID because Jesus Christ, give it up already. Like, I'm not saying COVID doesn't exist. I just don't believe the numbers. I don't believe the severity of it. I understand it's a real disease. I think people are dying from it, but I don't think the numbers are there. I got to be honest with you. And I'm really sick of wearing a fucking mask all the time. Enough is enough. So, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to everything you're saying because I agree.
So, I saw a post on my Instagram, and it said something about Brennan's notes being Trump declassifying Brennan's notes as far as Obama briefing Hillary and her whole gang of goons about as far as the FISA warrant. And I'm wondering that there's always moves in the playbooks, especially before the election. You know, Cuomo wants to shut down more stuff starting Friday and all this other stuff. Do you think that Trump declassifying notes holds any water, or do you just think that it's a ploy to get more votes?
I mean, listen, I'm hoping to see stuff. People are saying that there's going to be stuff. Everybody's saying that we're going to see stuff, but I've been waiting long enough to see stuff. And the stuff I've seen, I'm trying to figure out how this doesn't link to anybody. How do you have obvious, you know, manipulation of the FISA court in order to get a warrant to spy on an American citizen, let alone an opposing political candidate. How do you do that and not be able to root out some type of corruption? Just the mere fact that you did it is corrupt enough. It's J. Edgar Hoover type of corruption. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, to have done it with erroneous information from a foreign entity that was never really proven, and not only proven, a lot of it was actually disproven in the Steele dossier, and then you use that to secure warrants to spy on an opposing political candidate, and then turn that investigation, or that whatever you want to call it, into something that you called Russian collusion, which pretty much means nothing. For all the people out there that don't know that collusion is not only not against the law, it's something that we've been doing with Russia since 1991. Politicians have been colluding with Russians since Perestroika. Okay, so for those of you that don't know that, for those of you that think that Russia is the big bad aggressor in the United States-Russia relationship since 1991, you're wrong. You're wrong, and if you ever want to call me, if you have the chutzpah to call me and discuss that, I will tell you straight out in many ways how you're wrong. And if you think that the election meddling, the Russian election meddling, the Russian, like Rachel Maddow, the oligarchs are everywhere. There's an oligarch under my bed. I mean, Rachel Maddow had so much information. She should have just taken Mueller's spot. Said, don't worry. I got this. Hold my beer. I got him. Yeah. I got all the information. And the Red Scare conspiracy that they were putting together. You know, if you don't realize that Americans, including our presidents like Obama, I'll have more time to do this after my election. I'll be able to do that. Including every politician from Congress to the senators to we built through a branch of our government called USAID. We wrote the Russian Constitution and created their system of taxation during Perestroika when their country and their ruble was worth nothing. We helped rebuild them. And part of our deal with them was we'll never infringe on your sphere of influence, which we've done nothing but in the Ukraine and the rest of that area. We've stomped all over it. So, you know, I'm hoping that we see some, you know, criminality that we can at least point to. Whether we can prosecute it or not is a whole nother story. I mean, listen, you're more into that stuff than I am. So tell me what people are talking about, what they think they might have.
I haven't done all of my research yet. I got a buddy who's like, I would say he's like way far right, and he's on like the dark web, and he's on like some of these pages that I don't even know how to get to because I'm not like a computer person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He seems to think that there's arrests coming. Now, we've heard it 1,000 times. If any of the right, any Republicans did half the stuff that Hillary did and Peter Strzok and even Obama and what was her right-hand man, Uba Abedin or whatever, and her husband who was like a pedophile or whatever?
Anthony Weiner and Abedin. Well, Abedin pretty much just left her computer wide open, you know, for people to see her little dealings with Clinton.
Anybody who, me or you, did something like that, we would be locked under the jail. You know what I'm saying? I just would love to see some sort of accountability. Really, I would, because there's obviously a two-tier justice system here where you got the Democrats and everybody else. You have Hillary, Obama. I would just love to see some sort of accountability. Really?
Well, my problem, my oh yeah, my problem with some of that is, you see, and here's why, you know, before earlier in the show, I'm saying that, you know, the left-right paradigm is like a farce to me. It doesn't even exist. As a matter of fact, it's kind of like the same situation when Reagan came into office. The difference between the right and the left in this country is just it's not even there. You know, a Republican and a Democrat were like the same thing to me before Trump. And then Trump came in and said, listen, you got to pick a side. And these are the things that we're supposed to stand for. We're supposed to stand for capitalism. We're supposed to stand for freedom and your economic choice. We're supposed to stand against redistribution of other people's money. We're supposed to stand for our borders. We're supposed to stand for our military and make sure that our military has all the protection and the money that they need to provide the supplies and the equipment that they need to keep them safe and make sure that our military hardware is, up to date and not a depleted Navy like Obama left us with, or, you know, make sure that we're strong with our adversaries and our allies alike. And we stand for strong trade deals where we're not allowing China and even our allies to take advantage of us with asymmetrical trade deals. So, and now, and then we got to the, what is it? China.
It's pronounced
China.
China.
But, you know, now that we've, at one point I couldn't tell the difference between the two parties. And this is kind of like what Reagan did to the Republican Party. It was like, get on board or get off. And as much as I can argue with, some of the most hardcore Trump supporters, and they get mad at me because they know I'm voting for him. But, I don't have a flag hanging over my house. You know, they're like mad at me because I don't have a flag hanging over my house. I said, if I didn't have a Reagan flag, there's no way in hell I'm going to have a Trump flag. And I think he's funny as hell, and a lot of things I like about him, but I like some of his policies, and I know that the alternative is not an option. So you're getting my vote. Shouldn't that be enough? Shouldn't that voice of reason be enough? Is it possible to the hardcore Trump supporter that I can say sometimes that maybe what he's saying is wrong, especially when we're talking about the Constitution and we're talking about people's freedoms, and when he's on the wrong side of that, like red flag was? If you're a real so-called conservative, like I said, I don't believe in a spectrum that way, but if you're on that side, you're supposed to believe in a strong Second Amendment, not one that you're able to circumvent due process with red flag laws and take away people's guns, stuff like that. So when I criticize him for things and I get flack from that side, I'm like, man, just because he calls himself a conservative doesn't mean he's necessarily looking at things from a constitutionally conservative perspective every time he says something. I mean, the guy was a Democrat, for Christ's sake, before he became a Republican. So we know there's still some of that left in him. That's the side I usually disagree with.
Yeah, well, he comes from New York and he's in real estate.
He was probably a Democrat in name only, because, if you pay off the right Democrats, then you get all the permits. And, if you're a billionaire, you're in that industry. You know that if you pay off all the right people, then all your permits get done, all your jobs get done, everything doesn't get held up. And it was being a Democrat that was what usually got that done. But today in New York, I don't care what anybody says, because I know a lot of union guys, and I don't care who the union officially endorses. There are plenty of union guys, almost everyone I know, that they're like, if I don't have a country, what good is my union? And they voted for Trump last time, and they'll vote for Trump this time.
100%. I agree. All right, buddy, listen.
All right, buddy, thanks.
I'm enjoying your podcast. I'm glad I called. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, listen in. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you later, Andrew.
You're sending me the text messages, all right? Remind me, because I forget.
I'll send them out. We got to send them out to all our other listeners that are, listening. And I have all these people that message us and like us. I got to keep sending them the link. But you know what? Right now, I'm just getting on and having fun. We're working out all the kinks. We're trying to get the audio right and everything right. But we'll get it right. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling. Later, bro.
Right, tell the wife. I'll see you soon.
I will. You too. Bye. Well, we got a lot of people with a lot of opinions. We got a lot of... Listen, I got to be honest. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. The other side hasn't proven to me that they represent anything that I believe in. And they haven't scared me enough to let me think that Trump's going to take away everyone's health care and Trump's going to, that they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. I must admit, as much as I am against abortion, I probably would not be for overturning Roe versus Wade. I certainly would be for holding up laws that states want to make that make abortion illegal after the first trimester, because that's not Roe versus Wade. We all know what Roe versus Wade is. And aborting babies up until the day they're born is not Roe versus Wade. And I 100% am on board with stopping that. There's no argument you could make to me, because to me there is no logical argument for that. The baby is viable outside the womb. I mean, you could have a premature baby at 7 months that would maybe even need no medical attention at all besides being born. That could be, you know, born on its own at 6 and 7 months in your house and would still be viable outside of the womb. So I just cannot see any circumstance where you would be aborting that. And I could certainly see caveats in the law where you would allow for, you know, stillborns to obviously be, you know, it's not carry them to term. I don't see why that would have to be. But I did want to get to, before we were done tonight, oh man, my favorite. I wanted to get to the Pope and his comments on socialism. We had Pope Francis come out and pretty much bash capitalism and trickle down. And what he believes are the problems with the capitalist system. And, you know, he actually, coming from him, in his own words, he had to say that the 2007-2008 financial crisis was a missed opportunity for change, instead producing increased freedom for the truly powerful, will always find a way to escape unscathed. I just said it before, there will always be a 1%. It doesn't matter. Society must confront the destructive effects of the empire of money. That's funny. The empire of money. The ironic part about this whole thing is that is coming from the Pope, whose history of the Catholic Church, I don't think you could find an institution that has more ill-gotten wealth than the Catholic Church. Okay, first of all, you're no economist, because capitalism is responsible for lifting more people out of poverty than any other economic system. And then the irony of one of the most corrupt institutions of all time lecturing people on the virtues of socialism is just, it's palpable. The Catholic Church has stolen more wealth from the world than any other institution that I can think of. From the conquests and murders committed around the world while pillaging their wealth, to the excommunication of kings that wouldn't turn over their fortunes, the Catholic Church has accumulated more money than most nations in the world. I mean, this guy's preaching from a gold-plated, literal ivory tower. And you know what the funny thing is? The largest landowners in the world? Well, the Queen is like number one. But I think like number two or number three is the Pope, considering that he's pretty much a monarch. The Vatican owns millions of acres of land. Millions. As a matter of fact, where is it? I'll tell you right here. Oh, 177 million acres. In various properties around the globe, the church owns. He's talking about private property ownership and the end of private property ownership. I mean, is it like a prerequisite to be a hypocrite to be on the left? I mean, if you think of the history of South America for a second, because I know I love how, you know, you have the AOCs out there, the Latinos that are, you know, talk about the history but know nothing about their history. And the history goes something like this. In 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, sailing on behalf of Spain with the endorsement of the Catholic Church, they showed up on your land down there and said, "Crees en Cristo o muerte." You believe in Christ or you die. And you speak like me. And they raped and they pillaged and they stole all the gold and they defaced all the temples and they stole every ounce of wealth that was in these indigenous lands and brought it back to Spain and traded slaves all with the backing of the church. Untold billions of dollars. Today, the estimate that the church is worth $30 billion. Yeah, okay. That's what they estimated to be worth. Yeah, right. Okay. First off, every piece of property that it owns, I don't know how they account for that, but every piece of property that a church is on around the world, the Catholic Church, is owned by the church in some way. Whether it be the archbishop has it in their name, and then when they die, they will it back to the church. Whatever little scams that they pull through the evil capitalist system that allows them to do all that and not be taxed, by the way. That's all through the benefit of that evil capitalism that they take advantage of. And then he wants to go around in his little baptismal baby suit, his white hat, and tell me how I should live and how I should, what I should do with my money. And then they'll hide behind the virtues of how Jesus would have been a socialist. Jesus said that you should share your money. Jesus said you should share your wealth. Jesus said that you should give to the poor. All the things that we used to do as a community and as and our churches used to do. And Jesus actually said, according to very few things that are attributed to the mouth of Jesus, not a Jesus, not a preacher, but you know, I'll use your own words against you whenever I have a chance. Actually said, you know, that it's more likely for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to pass through the gates of heaven. But he didn't tell everybody that what you have to do with your money and that you shouldn't have your own piece of property. You shouldn't have your own farm, or you shouldn't have your own land, or you shouldn't be a, shouldn't have your own little space in this little, cut out a little nugget for yourself in this beautiful earth that his Father created for us. I'm trying to figure out what the alternative is, Pope. What are you going to build? It's all a herd of community homes. We could all live in a nice little, what you supply for us, that the land belongs to the state and that we just get to live on it. Because that's really what the proponents of taking away private property ownership are advocating for. Taking away your freedoms and your choice. What to do with the untold hours of sweat equity that you put into this economy. Because what's the dollar bill really worth anyway? When you go spend your little fake piece of paper on your house or your car or whatever you decide to choose that you want to use it for. What is that little illusion of a Federal Reserve note? I don't even know what that means. Federal Reserve note. A note is an extension of credit. How could this be money? You just handed me a bill. This is an IOU. This isn't money. And I go and I put toil away and I put in whatever sweat equity I put in to get this money, or God forbid I'm lucky enough that somebody else did that for me and then I inherited it. And then there are other ways for me to create more money with that money. But that's evil. Somebody else put that sweat equity in. You've earned it in an ill way. That's evil that somebody left it to you. You don't think you have the right to bequeath your earnings to someone? It's just the whole ideology of the left is nonsense. It's just total nonsense. And then I take that little piece of paper that you give me and I decide to go spend it on whatever I want to spend it on. You're trying to tell me what I should spend it on, who I should give it to, what I should, how much of it I should have. And that by some way, the rich man or the man or woman with more is less virtuous than the poor one. And never, they were never poor on their own volition. They were never poor because of their own actions. It's always because of some disadvantaged circumstance that probably was created by the one with more money, right? Because I can't find the quote exactly, but go look it up. And he makes some point of some stupid point. I'm sorry. This is Will's wake-up call, and that's how I say it, and that's how it is. Stupid point that if some person has more of something, whatever that resource may be, and somebody has less, it's because the person with more has detained it. So you have less because I'm holding it back from you, in other words. That is the goddamn dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Now, that may be the case sometimes. But to just make this blanket statement of stupidity like that. Oh, and I just got, if anybody out there, well, we're ending in a few minutes anyway, but if anybody out there knows if this is true and can verify this, I just got a little thing that came across my my messenger here, that the governor of Puerto Rico just endorsed Donald Trump. Oh, no. Could that be true? Could it be true that the governor of Puerto Rico just endorsed Donald Trump? And I really think this time around that Trump will get a lot more Latino votes, even though he didn't do too bad last time. I think he'll do even better this time. And if that happens, the Democrat Party is in trouble for years to come. And to be honest, I really believe, and I know some of you out there that are listening that are on the left are not going to believe this because I spend so much time bashing you. But I kind of believe and I hope that the Democrat Party will come back to its senses and take that radical part of its party and ostracize it and push it out of the party and get rid of it. And maybe what we need to do is hand them an absolute thrashing at the polls for the next couple of elections. I'm talking about give them the whole thing, the House, the Senate, and the presidency. Give them everything to the Republicans, even though they could be like pigs wallowing in mud when they're in control. Just so that they know that the American people are just sick of people like AOC. We're just sick of people like Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and Chuck Schumer. We're just sick of them. They're just disgusting. We're sick of them. Promote people like Tulsi Gabbard in your party. Take some of these Democrat governors that were kind of centrist in the middle there when during the debates and you made them look like fools because they weren't left enough. Get rid of these pandering leftists that are fake, that don't care. Like the Joe Biden is a perfect example, but Elizabeth Warren too. Get rid of these people. Come back with fresh people that believe in the American worker and the unions. And I could just disagree with you on things that are like important. Why are you bringing out these mayors and these governors that think it's okay to burn down cities and that it's just it's people just burning property and they're on the right side of history and it's just property? Oh, well, if it's just property, then why do all the rest of us need to pay to fix it? It's just property. It's no big deal. You don't need it. Oh, man. I just can't even wait to see what comes out next week. I mean, it's just it's pretty amazing what we're seeing right now. And just to get back to Trump, please, can you stop saying don't be afraid of COVID? As a matter of fact, he was talking about putting a lid on Joe Biden, put a lid on Trump right now. As a matter of fact, I heard a story. I don't know if it's true. You know, you never know if somebody's true. But I did see a report on Business Insider that Don Jr. was talking about his dad going nuts. And that he did not, I mean, as frantic as Trump is at times and as crazy as some of the things he says are, he said it seemed even out of character for him the way he was acting after getting this drug cocktail in the hospital. And he was begging people to just take his phone away, take his Twitter away. Now, before we end, I would like to say that we are going to be facing the Coney Barrett confirmation. And before we do, I just want to play this for the night because I didn't get to mention this in the show tonight. It seems like we've pretty much run out of time already. But I would like to play this.
We have never had in the history of the country such obstruction. The president's nomination, he has no choice. He shall nominate. So he's going to nominate someone. But we've already been told there will be no hearings, there will be no vote, and then to make it even unbelievable, they won't even meet with this nominee.
Whoa.
We want them to do their jobs. Do your job.
Why are they so adamant about blocking this president from making a Supreme Court appointment? Is it concern over the issues set to come before the court, or a desire to appoint a justice who may be inclined to put conservative ideology ahead of his or her obligations? Whatever the reason, the obstruction they're contemplating is unprecedented. There's plenty of precedent for Supreme Court confirmations in this situation. 14 of the 112 justices in our history were confirmed in the final year of a presidential term. And one of those was Justice Anthony Kennedy, a Californian who was confirmed in President Ronald Reagan's final year in office. It was a democratically controlled Senate that moved Kennedy's nomination to the floor.
Wow. So I guess in the words of Harry Reid, do your job. Do your job. Feinstein, we've never seen such obstruction. Why are they trying to block this president? I don't even know what the inference was there. This president. It was probably, she emphasized the this because he was black, I guess. Is that why she did it? That must be why, because that's all the Democrats do is try to inject race into everything. Well, you can say the same thing here. Why are you trying to stop this president? He has no choice. What was it, Harry? He has no choice but to nominate, and he will nominate. They won't even meet with. Oh, it sounds familiar. They won't even meet with him. So, for the first time ever, I think I agree with the Democrats. Do your job. See, no matter, regardless of the outcome of this election, the single most important reason that I voted for Donald Trump was the Supreme Court. Now it's within our grasp. So when I hear the left argue, the people that are voting should have the right to decide. Leave it up to the American people. It is up to the American people. And the American people voted for a president for 4 years. I voted. My vote counts. I voted. I voted for Donald Trump, and I voted for the Supreme Court. And now there's a vacancy, and we have the votes to fill it, so fill it. That'll make it an unfair balance on the Supreme Court. Well, since you don't believe in God, I'm sure you don't believe in divine intervention, but I do. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody have a good night. We'll see you next week. Keep listening. We appreciate it. Keep listening. Keep calling and share us. Will's Wake Up Call on Facebook.